This parak is talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. It has to do with Pesach. The parak starts off, Vayhi b'sha'ach Paro Yisra'om. It was when Paro sent off the nation. You have the text in your email, by the way. When Paro sent off the nation, when the Jews went out of Mitzrayim, so that's the introduction. Zesh Amar Akosov, this is what it means, who the Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Shlochayich Pardes Rimayim. Those who were sent off are like a Pardes Rimayim, like an orchard of pomegranates. How so? How are the Jews that were sent off from Mitzrayim like an orchard of pomegranates? Maha Pardes Hazeh, Molei Min Eitz, Ilon Oise Pri Liminoi. Just like an orchard is filled with different types of trees, fruit trees that bear fruit in its own, according to its own species, and they have different types of fruits. Kach yotzu yisrael mimitzrayim maleim kol tu mimine brachis. So too the Jews came out of Mitzrayim filled with all types of goodies, of different types of brachas. Shenamar, like it says in the pasuk, shlochayich paideis rimayim. Those who sent you off, those who were sent off, were like a like an orchard of pomegranates. And we had this same lashon in the end of Perek Mem Ches when we were talking about the Jews going out of Mitzrayim and they went Berchush Godol. So it says the same lashon of they were Maleim Kol Tuv Mimine Brachos. Just like a pomegranate also is full of all kinds of good seeds or whatever in the inside, so too the Jews when they left Mitzrayim they were filled with all kinds of goodies from Mitzrayim, the Bizos Mitzrayim. Rabbi Gamliel Oimer. Rabbi Gamliel says, "Hamitzrim rodfu acharei bnei Yisrael ad Yamsuf." The Egyptians chased after the Jews until the Yamsuf. V'hoyu Yisrael bein hamitzrim uvein hayam. And the Jews ended up between the Egyptians on one side and the sea on the other side. Hayam lifneihem, the sea in front of them. V'ha'oyev achareihem, and the enemy behind them. And the Jews saw the Egyptians and they were very scared. And there, when they were standing in this awkward position at the sea, that's when they threw away all their idols of Mitzrayim that they took with them out of Mitzrayim. They sent that away. They threw it in the sea or whatever. The Radal says, they were sort of darshaning it from this Lashon where it says, they were very scared, and it says in Sefer Yoina, we discussed in Perek Yud, it says Vayu ha'anoshim yiro gedayla. When we're talking about the people on the boat, that they were very scared. Also, it says the same lesson that they were very scared, and over there it says that they threw away their avodah zarah from the boat. So here too, we're saying that the Jews by the Yamsuf they threw away their Egyptian avodah zarah. Shom hi shlichu kol toyaves Mitzrayim. There's an interesting point over here that the Radal makes. He says, "How do we read this? Shom hishlichu kol toyaves Mitzrayim elim. Here they sent away all the toyaves Mitzrayim that they had with them. Do you take the word all literally? Because the Gemara and a lot of places in the Sefri, in Parshas Baalei Yischol, the Yerushalmi in Sukkah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Medrash in Koheles, the Medrash Tanchuma, a lot of Mechilta and Parshas B'Shal, a whole bunch of places Chazal tell us that when the Jews crossed the Kriyas Yamsuf, they took with them the Pesel Micha, which later had a prominent role in Sefer Shoftim, and Pesel Micha was an Avodah Zarah that they worshipped at that time. So it says that they took Pesel Micha with them across the sea. So here it's saying before Kriyas Yamsuf, they threw away all their Avodah Zarahs. So how do we understand that?
Maybe they took the knowledge of how to form Pesel.
Oh, so one second. So the Radal says that if you look in the Yerushalmi and Masechta Sukkah, it's a machlikas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Eliezer says that they took with them the Pesel Micha, and Rabbi Kiva says Chas v'Shalom, they didn't take with them Pesel Micha. So the Rebbe wants to say that this Medrash over here is going like Rabbi Kiva, not like Rabbi Eliezer. That's what the Radal says. I don't necessarily like this answer because we're talking about Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. This is Rabbi Eliezer. It should be Rabbi Eliezer working with Shitasa, not against Rabbi Eliezer himself. So how we have to understand it in a way that even Rabbi Eliezer says that Pesel Micha came with them, they still threw away all their Avodah Zarah. So if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, so the Gemara says that they took Pesel Micha with them. And Rashi on Sanhedrin Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi has two explanations. What does it mean that they took Pesel Micha with them? First, Rashi says that it means that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to bring the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik up from where it was its deep sea burial, so Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a certain name of Hashem on a piece of parchment or on a tas or whatever, on a plate, and he put it in the sea, and then the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik came up. And then Micha took that plate or that whatever parchment that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the name of Hashem, and with that he made Pesel Micha. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Second pshat Rashi says that no, what it means is that the actual idol of Pesel Micha crossed the sea with them. So it could be that if we understand like the first pshat in Rashi, we're not talking about an actual idol right now. We're talking about a piece of paper that could be used to make an idol. So that was what crossed the sea with them. But the actual idols that they threw away before they Kriyas Yamsuf.
The idol uses the name of Hashem written down.
That's how it gets its power. V'asu tshuva gedayla. At that point, the Jews did a great tshuva. V'karu l'alikim, and they called out to Hashem. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, Ufarei hikriv v'yisu b'nei Yisrael seinehem. Paro came close, and the Jews lifted their eyes. And the Marzu understands that we're dashing it. Paro hikriv, like Paro is mekarev them. Paro hikriv. Now that's shehikriv is Yisrael l'tshuva. He was mekarev them to tshuva. So they're sort of in a predicament over here. And one in front of them is the sea, and behind them is the Egyptians. What are they supposed to do? They threw away their Avodah Zarah, they're called to Hashem. V'ra Moshe b'tzarasim shal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the suffering of Kal Yisrael. V'amad l'hispalel aleihem, and he stood up to daven for them. But he didn't have a chance to that. He was about to daven for them. V'amad l'kadosh baruch hu, daber b'nei Yisrael b'Yisrael. No, don't daven. Go speak to b'nei Yisrael and go travel. Go right there. Go forward. Amar Moshe l'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ha'oivim me'achareihem ve'ayom l'fneihem. The enemies are behind us. The sea is in front of us. Le'ezer derech Yisrael. Which way are we're supposed to travel? So me'asah Kadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hashem do? Sholach l'michoil hasar ha'gadol. Hashem sent Michoil, the great officer in the Shemaim, the Malach Michoil. And he became a wall of fire between the Jews and the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were running after the Jews to come closer to them. But they weren't able to come because of this wall of fire. It's interesting that usually in Chazal, Gavriel is the Malach of Eish, not Michal. But here it says that Michal was the one who he became a wall of fire. But usually Gavriel is the Malach of Eish. So I didn't see anyone who points this out, but I was bothered by this question and I looked up a few sources and I found that the Yalkut Shemaini in Parshas Bishalach, when it brings down this thing, this idea, It says that it was the Malach Gavriel. It doesn't say the Malach Michal. Here it says Michal, but over there in the Yalkut Shemaini says Malach Gavriel, which could be makes more sense. Fine. V'ro ha'yoinim b'tzarosan shal Yisrael kol alayla. The uppers in the heavens, the heavenly bodies, they saw the suffering of Klal Yisrael the whole night. The malachim they saw what Klal Yisrael was going through the whole night. What's this suffering that we're talking about? We just said that the malach Michal turned into a wall of fire so that the Egyptians can't come close to the Jews. So what's the suffering? What's the problem? So the Rav Leo Meizmer in his Sefer V'loy Oid Ella has a chiddush to kapshat that the suffering means the tzara of Yisrael is talking about this idol that crossed with them, And the malachim felt that, like, they saw that this idol is destined to cause a lot of tzaras for Klal Yisrael. Okay, but pashtus, it means that the predicament that they were in, that they couldn't go forward and they couldn't go backwards. And because the Elyonim, the heavenly body, saw the Malachim and Shemaim, saw the Tsar of Klal Yisrael, they didn't give Shevach Vayda to Kodesh Baruch Hu that night. The Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Beshalach, when he brings down this Pirkei d'Eliezer, so he sort of makes a drasha. It says by over here by the Mitzrayim and the Jews on the night before Kriyas Yamsuf, it says V'loy Karav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. These didn't reach those the whole night. So Rabbeinu Bechaye says we make a drasha. V'loy Al Tikri V'loy Karav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. Ela V'loy Karav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. Kara Zel Zeh is the key words we use when we're talking about the Malachim saying Shira and Shemayim. V'kara Zel Zeh V'yamar Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. Right? So V'loy Kara Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. That night they didn't say their Shira and Shemayim. The Malachim, they didn't say Shira. There's a similar thing in the Gemara, in the Gila and Daf Yud. The Gemara says that Bikshu Malachi Shara is Leimar Shira. The Malachi Sharis wanted to say Shira by Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Ma'aseh Yadai Tovei Bayom Vata Maimrim Shira." The handiwork of my creation is drowning in the sea, and you want to say Shira? So Avada Na. So the Gemara says that's what it means when it says V'le Korav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. V'le Korav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla. That the Malachim didn't say Shira the whole night. The Malachim didn't say Shira the whole night. The Beis Yosef, interestingly, it doesn't work. You want a refund?
Welcome to the window.
The Beis Yosef and Hilchos Pesach, you probably know that there's the only times that we say halal, full halal, there's full halal and there's half halal. Right, what's full halal and half halal? There's only a few days a year where we say full halal. And the siman to remember it is babetach. Beis, tes, ches. Beis is 2, 2, 8, 9. The first 2 days of Pesach, or in Chutz Laaretz, 2 days of Shavuos, 8 days of Chanukah, and 9 days of Sukkot, including Sukkot Torah and Shemini Atzeres. Those are the only days that you say full halal. With the bracha and everything, you say a full halal. That's Medina de Gemar, you say a full halal. Any other times that we say halal, what we call half halal, really you don't have to say halal, but there's a minhag that we say halal even though you don't have to say halal. Right, so Rosh Chodesh, we have a minhag we say halal, so we only say half halal because there's only a minhag. What?
Like Yom HaAtzmaut.
Like Yom HaAtzmaut, yeah.
Interesting question.
It's a shadow of which bracha? But on Shvi Shal Pesach we don't say the full halal. Right? Why don't we say the full halal on Shvi Shal Pesach? So the Beis Yosef and Hilchos Pesach brings this gemara that we just quoted. That Bikshu Malachi Asharis Lemar Shira. That the Malachi Asharis wanted to say Shira during the story of Kriyas Yamsuf. And Hashem said, no, Ma'aseh Yadai Tovei Bayom, Vata Maimrim Shira. The handiwork of my creation is drowning in the sea, and you want to say Shira? No, you can't say Shira, so you're not allowed to say Shira. So the Beis Yosef says, that's the source why we don't say Shira, why we don't say Halal on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. That's what the Beis Yosef says. There's a famous kasha that the Mefarshim asks, that the Gemara seems to say that that's not the reason why. The Gemara Maseches Erechin says a different reason. The Gemara says, why don't we say halal on every day of Pesach? We say halal every day of Sukkot. Why don't we say it every day of Pesach? So the Gemara says, because Sukkot, every day of Sukkot has a special carbon. Each if you look at the maftir on every day of Sukkot, you're reading a different maftir every single day. Right? There's a certain amount of bulls and a certain amount of cows. It changes every day. It goes a higher amount of bulls and a lower amount of cows, something like that. I forgot exactly which way it goes. Right? Higher amount of bulls and a lower amount, something like that. What? And it comes out to be 70 altogether.
Look at it. Oh, you're thinking it, I'm sorry.
Right. So that's the by Sukkot each day is a different carbon. On Pesach, every single day of Pesach we're reading the same after. It's the same carbon. Even the first day is just the two psukim earlier, but other than that it's 2-3 psukim earlier, whatever. But what is it? Let's say the first day of Sukkot, right? You bring 13 cows, and then the second day of Sukkot, you bring 12 cows, and then 11 and 10, etc. It goes down. You start off with 13 cows, and it goes down. 13 cows, bulls. I'm sorry, bulls, not cows. Mashenkin on Pesach, you bring it's the same carbon. So since it's the same carbon, so it's like one big holiday. So you say halal once the beginning, and that's good enough. Mashenkin Sukkot, each day is a separate holiday because it has a separate carbon musaf. So you have to say halal on its own for each day. Another kasha they asked, according to the Beis Yosef's reason why you don't say halal. So that's why you don't say it on Shvi Shel Pesach because Kriyas Yamsuf. What about Chol HaMoed? From the second day of Pesach or the first day of Chol HaMoed and onwards, you don't say full halal anymore. Why not? The only reason, according to the Beis Yosef, is because of Kriyas Yamsuf. So that's the Shvi Shel Pesach. So the Taz asks this question. The Taz says that Chol HaMoed is the point of Chol HaMoed is to make a chibur, to make a connection between one Yom Tov and the other Yom Tov. Like the Ramban in Parshas Emor says that Sfiras HaOmer is like Chol HaMoed because it connects Pesach to Shavuos. So in Pesach, you have Chol HaMoed Pesach connects the first day of Pesach to the last day of the Pesach, right? And you can't have that the connection is going to be stronger than the things that it's connecting. If the last day of Pesach, you're not the Shvi Shel Pesach, you're not saying halal, or you're not saying full halal, so Chol HaMoed you're also not going to say halal, because it's going to be a bizoyan, that the connecting days is going to be more chashuv than the object days. What? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, right, what are we supposed to do over here? Hashem said to him, Moshe, neteyas yadcha ayam uvkoehu. Moshe, stretch your hand upon the sea and you're going to cut it. V'nata Moshe, you're going to cut through the sea. V'nata Moshe es yaday al yam. Moshe stretched his hand over the sea. V'loi kibel alav lehibokea. And the sea did not agree to split. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? V'herau brismila. Moshe Rabbeinu showed him the brismila. Va'arein Yosef, and the coffin of Yosef, v'hamata shechokuk olav shema meforish, and the staff upon which is engraved the ineffable name of Hashem, the shema meforish, v'loy kibel, and the sea did not agree to split. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to show him these different things over here? So Rabbi Leomi Izmir says, what?
That's interesting. Very. Continue. I have a question.
So Rabbi Yomi Izmir says that first Moshe Rabbeinu thought, oh, the reason why the sea doesn't want to split is because maybe the sea thinks that there's some sort of we're carrying a Avodah Zarah with us or whatever. So he showed him the Bris Milah. Because Chazal tell us in the Tana Debeil Yo Rabbah, it says, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Im atem mekabelim es brisi, ki ilu mekabelim elikusi. If you're mekabel a bris, it's like you're mekabel the sovereignty of Hashem's godliness. You by keeping the mitzvah of Bris Milah, you're showing that Hashem is your God. So by showing the Bris Milah, you're saying no, there's no Avodah Zarah by us. We're keeping the Bris Milah. We're maintaining our integrity with the covenant of Hashem. So then Moshe Rabbeinu showed him the Aron of Yosef. Why the Aron of Yosef? Moshe Rabbeinu was reasoning, maybe the sea doesn't want to split because we have an avera in our background. We have some bones in our closets. We have the fact that the brothers sold Yosef, and we're sort of guilty for that. So for that, they showed the bones of Yosef, the coffin of Yosef, because Yosef said before he died, he told his brother, look, I'm making you swear that when I die, take my bones out with you. And I don't know where he sees that, but he sees from that really Yosef was already moichel his brothers, and the only time that he had on his brothers was make sure you do this. He didn't have anything else to complain against his brothers. That was all Yosef wanted. So Moshe Rabbeinu showed him the Aron of Yosef to say, look, we don't have that avera. We already were moichel. And then he took out the stick. It says the stick had the name of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was reasoning, why doesn't the sea want to split? Because maybe the sea thinks, oh, it's too early. The Jews aren't supposed to go out of Mitzrayim. It's not 400 years yet. It's only 210 years. So he took out the stick. He said, look, this stick has the name of Hashem. Hashem made the cheshbon. Hashem made a cheshbon of when the Jews are supposed to go out. That's not up to you. That's up to Hashem. It's not up to you. And then it brings in parentheses the Magia, whoever wrote this note over here on V'loy Oid Ella, he brings that on the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu it was engraved the Tzach Hadash Ba'achar, the abbreviations for the 10 plagues, the Tzach Hadash Ba'achar. And if you look, there's a famous letter from Rav Shimshon Maastropolia, who was killed in 1648 in the Chelmensky massacres. Rav Shimshon Maastropolia was a big mekubal, so he has a whole letter. It's printed in the beginning of a lot of agadas, where he writes that the Tzach Hadash Ba'achar represent different shemais and shemayim that have to do with the geula. So Moshe Rabbeinu was showing him the stick with those names and saying like the geula is supposed to come over here. It's interesting. It's a whole machlikas, different sources of what was written on the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu. Was it the name of Hashem? Was it the Makkos? Was it an abbreviation of the Makkos? If it was the name of Hashem, which name of Hashem was it? Was it Yud Kei Vav Kei? I think the Bartanur and Mesachas Ovis says it was Yud Kei Vav Kei. Others say it was the Shem of the Ein, the 72 letter name. There's a whole lichus. I don't want to get into that, but there's a lot of different pshatim about that.
I think the thing about Yosef, he says Ayam Rav Eyanos. What happened here?
So Rabbi Epstein is asking, good. The Gemara in Masechet Sota says, Hayam Ra Vayanos. The sea saw and ran away. Ma Ra, what did the sea saw? Arenishal Yosef, the coffin of Yosef. What's the significance? Because it says by Yosef, when Yosef's tribulations with the wife of Potiphar, so it says Vayonas Vayetze Chutzah. He ran away and he went outside. Right. So Vayonas. So you see that there's some connection between Kriyas Yamsuf and Yosef running away. So the Gemara says that Beschus Yosef, who was able to control himself and run away from the wife of Potiphar, Beschus that the sea ran away and that's how he had Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what it says in the Gemara. Beschus Yosef. In another Medrash it says it was Beschus Brismila. And we know also that the Yisayid of Yosef and the Yisayid of Brismila is the same Yisayid. I think we've spoken about it before. It's the same Yisayid. So over here it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu showed him the sea these things and the sea didn't split. But it could be, I don't know if it's a question, because it could be that the pshat is that it didn't split when he showed it to them, but when it did split in the end, we're going to see what happened and how it did split. The Hashem came himself and told it to split, and then it was Beseder. But what was the schus that made it split? Could be it was the schus of Yosef, it was the schus of Brismila. It was the schus that made it happen. But all right. But even after you were it was showed that those elements, right? Fine. So what happened? B'shal Meishel of Negalish Baruch Hu. Vama. Meishel Reina went back to Hashem. He showed the Brismila, the Aron Yosef, the Mata. Nothing worked. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar, he said to him, "Ribon Kol Olam, the Master of the Universes, Hayom Eino Shomea Li. The sea does not listen to me. What am I supposed to do?" Miad Nigla Olav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bechvaydai Alayom. Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his own honor, himself went to the sea, and he revealed himself to the sea. Ubarach Hayom, and the sea ran away. V'rogzu Amayim, and the waters were shaking or got scared. V'cholu V'rodu. And they were scared and they started shaking. V'yardu l'sahaymes, and they went down to the depths. Shinamar ra'ucha mayim elikim, the waters have seen you, Hashem. Ra'ucha mayim yochilu, the waters have seen you and they became scared. Fine. Rabbi Eliezer says, b'yayim shenikvu hamayim boy b'yayim nikpu. on the day that the waters were nikvu, that they were gathered, on that day they were nikpu, they became hardened. What does that mean? On the day of the week that the waters were gathered, Yikovu Amayim in Parshas Bereishis, which is Tuesday, Yikovu Amayim v'Seirei HaYabosha, that was Tuesday of Bria Salem, on that day, on a Tuesday, that was when Nikpu Hamayim, the waters became hardened by Kriyas Yamsuf. And the Radal says that it's sort of like a Lashon Naifa Lashon, Nikvu and Nikpu. It became hardened and became, and Vinasu Lishne Masar Shvilim. The waters became hardened and went into 12 different paths, or 12 caves, or I haven't looked into this, but I'm wondering if we find any sources that say explicitly that there were Hashem Keneged Shneim Asar Shvatim, that these are Keneged corresponding to the 12 tribes. And I wonder if it says anywhere Beferish that each tribe went into its own Shvil in the Yamsuf, or does it just mean that there were 12 paths Keneged the 12 tribes, but not necessarily did each path mean 12, each path mean for one person, just each path represented the different tribes, but not that each path was meant dafka, only Shevet Reuven could travel here, only Shevet Shimon. I don't know anyone who speaks about it. I didn't see any sources on this, but yeah, okay, we discussed in Perek Tes what day from Yetzias Mitzrayim was the story of Kriyas Yamsuf. Pashas, it was the seventh day from Yetzias Mitzrayim. What day of the week it was, it's totally in what day of the week Yetzias Mitzrayim started. Okay, we're not going to discuss that again. We discussed it there. V'nasu chemes mayim, the water became walls. Uvein shvil u'shvil chaloines, and between each path were like windows. V'hoyu royin elu eselu, and each person, the people on different paths were able to see each other. Interestingly, the Radal brings that in the Sefer Aruch, on the word, the Aruch is like a dictionary of different words in Sefer Chazal. So on the word Pumois, Aleph Mem Pei Mem Aleph Vav Tav, so it said, he brings on this Pekut of Elazar and says that there were Chalonis Ampumois. What does it mean Ampumois? So we actually had this word before, earlier in Perek Yud, when we were talking about Yoina, when Yoina was in the big fish. So it says that the eyes of the fish were like chalonis ampumais. So the Radal, based on the context over here and the context over there, wants to say that it means like lightened glass. So it was like extra light that you could see from one shvil to the other shvil.
So would you say it was translucent or transparent?
Not sure. What would you say?
Translucent. It doesn't sound like it was, you know, clear, like you, like me and you were looking at each other, and like.
Why? Why does it say? Why doesn't it say it was clear?
Because, you know, like what? Like you could see through it with light. It's translucent. Lucent is.
Lucent is with the light. Not sure. When they were crossing the sea, they saw Kodesh Baruch Hu walking in front of them. We have to know what that means. This gets even weirder. But it says, and the heels of his feet, of Hashem's feet, they didn't see and they didn't know about. I don't know what that means. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Ra'u halichesecha elikim, they saw your walking Hashem. Another pasuk says, Bayom darkecha, in the sea is your way, ushvilcha b'mayim rabim, and your path is in the great waters. Ve'ikvaysecha le'inaydau, and your heels, they don't know. So I don't know what that means, that they saw Hashem walking and they didn't know about the heels. I don't know what that means. The Radal compares this to something we learned in Perek Hey, where we said that the waters are bound under the feet of Hashem, which we mentioned it over there. We also didn't know what it meant. So here, this is another thing that's related to that we don't exactly understand it. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, going right there. Rabbi Kiva says, Halcho Yisrael lovay el Yamsuf v'choyim l'achareihem. The Jews wanted to go into the Yamsuf. After it split, they wanted to go in. But then they started turning backwards. Why? Yireim Shema Yashuvu Hamayim Aleim. They were scared that maybe the water is going to return upon them and they're going to get drowned in the water. V'shevet Binyamin Yotzel Hikanit Sham. Shevet Binyamin wanted to, they really wanted to go inside into the lion. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, it's a Pasuk in Sefer Tilim, it's a Drush. Sham Binyamin Tsoir Roidim. There, Binyamin Tsoir, Binyamin the youngest, Roidim. Maybe it literally means went to sleep. But here's the Radashne, Roidim, Yerdim. They would go down. They wanted to go down first into the sea. The Radal says an interesting Drush over here. Because it calls him Binyamin Tsoir, Binyamin the youngest. First, the Radal is bothered by what's Binyamin doing there. We know the Seder of how they traveled in the Midbar.
Binyamin was ninth.
Yehuda was the first. So what's Binyamin doing right by the sea more than any other Shevet?
Doesn't seem to be a contradiction though, because they didn't travel in a straight form. They traveled like in a box, east to west, north and south.
No, that was how they encamped.
They couldn't, when they were in camp.
Yeah.
They couldn't.
I don't know.
They went ahead. They jumped ahead so they can go in.
So the Radal says that before Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar is when Hashem set up the Degolim. Machane Reuven, Machane Dan, Machane Yehuda, Machane Ephraim, all the different Machanes. Before that, how did they travel? So the Radal says that could be before that, the way they traveled was in birth order. So in birth order, Binyamin would be last, right? But if they were encamped there, and they were facing towards the Mitzrayim, because they didn't think they were going to go to the sea, they probably thought they were going to go fight the Mitzrayim now. So then Reuben would be all the way in the front, and Binyamin would be in the back, right next to the sea. So Binyamin is standing there next to the sea, saying, "All right, let's jump!" Right?
At that point, they weren't traveling, though. They were sitting by the sea.
Right? They were sitting by the sea. So Hizchilu Shevet Yehuda Raig Minayson. The Shevet Yehuda began to stone them. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Sare Yehuda Rigamosam. It says in that pasuk, the office of Yehuda stoned them. And the Radal points out that in the same pasuk it says also Zvulun and Naphtali were stoning them. So he says that maybe they joined after Yehuda. Whatever. But the point is that Yehuda sort of was saying, no, we don't want you to jump in first. The Kafatz Nachshein Tchila Nachshein Ben Aminadav jumped first Layom into the sea. The Kidesh Shmoy Agodol Le'ene Yakol, and he was Mekadesh Shem Hashem in the great name of Hashem in the eyes of everyone. Uvememshelas Yad Ben Yehuda Nichnusu Achareiham Kol Yisrael Layom, and under the ruling of the hand of the sons of Yehuda, everyone entered after them. All the Jews entered after them into the sea. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Yehuda was the Lekotche. They were the ones that were Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Yisrael Mam Shalaisav. Yisrael is under his dominion. Mam Shalaisav Shal Yehuda. Yisrael is under the Mam Shalaisav of Yehuda. Vahoyu Hamitzrim Ratzim Lovei Acharei Yisrael Vachizim Lo Achareihim. First, the Mitzrim wanted to go chase after the Jews into the sea, but then they decided to turn back. Yireim Shema Yashuvu Hamayim Aleihem, because they were also scared that maybe the waters are going to return and cover upon them. So it looks like they're not going to get drowned. They're going back. Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Hashem do? Nira b'mayim ki ish rechev susya. Hashem appeared on the sea like a man riding on a female horse. Shneimar, like it says in the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Lususasi b'echvei farai. It says para, but it's a mistake. It's supposed to say farai. Yeah. like a female horse with the riders of para. V'hasus shahirecha parai ra'asusya. The male horse that para was riding saw a nice looking female horse. V'rats, and started running. Zohal, and it got excited. V'nichnas layam achareihem. And it entered the sea after the Jews. To chase after the Jews. Because they wanted to see this female horse. V'ro'u ha-mitzri l'farei sh'nichnas bayom. And all the Egyptians saw that Paro led his chariot and everything into the sea. So nichnas l'kulam l'yom achrav. They all went into the sea after him. Sh'nema v'yirdufu mitzrayim acharem. And the Egyptians chased after him. Miyad shavu ha-mayim v'yichasum. Then the waters returned and covered them. Shinemar, because it says in the pasuk, "Vayashavu hamayim vayichasu esorecha vesaporoshim," and the waters returned and it covered the riders and the chariots. But Paro, Paro himself, it seems like he didn't get. It says, Kol sus recha paro v'cheloi uforashav. All the horsemen of Paro and his soldiers and the riders, but not Paro himself, Pashtus. We'll see what Pirkei Devil is. Pirkei Devil is in Perek Mem Gimel speaks about how Paro survived and ended up becoming the king in Nineveh and whatever. That's in the next Perek. But in this Perek also, Paro comes up again after the Egyptians are drowned. Ben Azay Yomer, a new thing. Ben Azay says, Hakol Bemida, everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu did in the story of Kriyas Yamsuf was measured. It was all done Mida Keneged Mida. Kishen is go hamitzrim v'yishlichu hayiladim layar. Just like the Egyptians were proud and haughty, and they sent the Jewish boys into the river, kach ishecha yisama kodesh baruch hu layam. So too, kodesh baruch hu sent them into the sea. Shenemar ashiro l'Hashem ki goyoi go'a. I'm in the beginning, the opening words to Oz Yosha says, ashiro l'Hashem ki goyoi go'a. I'm singing to Hashem because the way the Medrash is darshaning it, because that which they became proud through, that which the Mitzrayim became haughty with, we became proud with that. That which they used to do not nice to the Jews, they're throwing them into the water, so they got thrown into the water. We'll remember this line for a little bit later. The everything that Hashem did by Kriyas Yamsuf is Mida Keneged Mida. Later. Rabbi Shila says, Kol ha'yiladim sheyishlichu le'yar lo'y meisu. Once we're talking about the Jewish boys that were sent into the river, so we'll speak a little bit about that. Rabbi Shila says that all the Jewish boys that were sent into the river, lo'y meisu, they didn't die. Ela ha'yar hifli toysam v'hishlichosam le'midbar mitzrayim. Rather, the river spit them out and sent them away to the wilderness in Mitzrayim, the Sahara Desert, Pashtus. The Kodesh Baruch Hu brought a rock next to the mouth of each one of these kids and a rock next to him. The rock that was next to his mouth would nurse him honey. And the rock that was next to them would give off oil for them. Kechaya shehimeinika es bina, like a woman who gave birth, who nurses her child. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, chaya in Lashon Chazal means a woman who gave birth. By nikeu devash misara b'shemen mechala mishtzur. Yeah.
Does the Gemara in Maseches Brachos say that oil is harmful by itself?
Oh, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis says that a person who drinks oil on its own, it's dangerous, right? You learn Brachos. Olive oil, right? Stam oil is olive oil,
yeah,
in Chazal. Okay. So what's the advantage of having oil over here?
Hebrew, yeah.
So the Radal asks this question. And the Radal says that, first of all, he sort of says two answers. First of all, you could change the gears and say it wasn't feed meinikai sam shemen. Instead of meinik oisam shemen, you read meisich oisam shemen. Not nursing them oil, but shmearing on them oil. Meisich. Or, he says, in other sources, in other midrashim that bring this idea, it says one rock was for dvash, and the other rock was for milk. So instead of shemen, it should say milk. But the pasuk that the Midrash brings says, "Vayikeru dvash misala v'shemen michal mishtzur." So the pasuk sounds like it's talking about dvash and shemen. But I'll point out another interesting thing. If you go, let's say you go like the Gersos in the other midrashim that says dvash and cholov, yeah, eretz as cholov dvash. We know that eretz as cholov is dvash cholov. It's very interesting that there's two things that doctors tell you that you shouldn't feed a child in its first year of life: milk and honey. Milk and honey. And dafka, those are the two things that the rock was feeding them.
That was an ace.
So it must have been an ace. So once you're saying that there must have been some sort of an ace, so when we're talking about the oil, also it could be there was some sort of an ace involved. Nobody says this, but that's what I was thinking.
With honey, there's more
honey. Honey in Chazal, honey usually means usually means bee honey. In the pasuk, it usually means date honey. No.
Are you sure? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. What do you say?
I think Chazal said that
Chazal also when they say stam dvash means.
It says in the Gemara, it's lamed vav. It says the thing with the fruits, and it brings the pasuk. The pasuk says dvash tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like date honey, anyways, is not so dangerous for kids. Yeah. Okay.
There's still the milk is the same problem.
Milk, yeah.
You're not talking about.
Well, if we're talking about human milk, then it's not a problem.
You're talking about honey milk.
Maybe the nasal said it was human milk.
Maybe the nasal said it was human milk, yeah. It's like the old question by Makas Dam, the water turned into blood. So, what type of blood was it? Was it human blood? If you took a DNA test, like what would it come out?
There's the two types, the blood and the bull and the cow.
Huh?
The bull and the sheep blood.
Yeah, I don't know.
Be positive.
Without DNA, was able to know what kind of blood was what?
Okay. Ukeshabal Yisrael Yam, when the Jews came to the sea, these kids that were saved, that grew up in the wilderness of Mitzrayim, they were the ones that recognized Hashem on the sea, and they recognized Him, they praised Him, and they were mekadesh Him. Shenema ze keli ve'anveu. This is my Lord, and I will glorify Him. We always say that ze is something that's tangible. It's right here. It's something you can point at. Ze keli. So when these kids saw the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, they said, "Oh, that's Hashem." Ze keli ve'anveu. It was like so obvious to them. Rabbi Simayin says, "Biyayim revi ichon Yisrael sfas hayam minegev layam." On a Wednesday, meaning the day after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jews were encamped on the edge of the sea, on the south side of the sea. Now the Radal says, "Wait a second. If you know a little bit of geography, so the Red Sea goes north south. So there's no south side of the sea. If you're talking about the sea, you're either on the east side or the west side, not north or south side. So what does it mean the south side of the sea? The Radal is a pshat. For you are Mitzrim, tzofim kinoides al pnei amayim, and the Egyptians were floating like empty flasks on the surface of the water." And a northern wind came and blew them closer towards the encampment of the Jews.
4 days after
no, no, no. Not 4 days after. Wednesday. We said the Kriyas Yamsuf happened on a Tuesday, so this is Wednesday, the next morning. The Jews came out and they saw them and they recognized the Egyptians. The Jews said, this guy's Paro's butler, this guy was the taskmaster. And they were able to recognize each person. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, Baya Yisrael is Mitzrayim. The Jews saw Mitzrayim. They saw the whole Mitzrayim, the whole population of Mitzrayim, they saw it over there in the sea. Baya Yisrael Mitzrayim Al Yam. Right?
It doesn't sound like the whole population was there. It sounds like only the army was there.
So
Mitzrayim continued to be a country even at times of Shlomo.
So the Rishonim Maseches Yevamos has discussed how could it be that there's Israel to marry a Mitzri if all the Mitzrayim were killed by the Yamsuf?
They weren't killed.
What? Or rave of them were killed. Could be rave of the male population.
The males were from 20 and above, maybe.
Yeah, could be the males.
I don't believe that the 13-year-old sons went to war.
Isn't the modern Mitzrayim not the same as...
Is what?
The modern Mitzrayim is not the same... The Mitzrayim were from Africa, no?
It's a separate discussion. We're talking about the times of, let's say, the first Mitzrayim, when it was still the same Mitzrayim, why then was it also?
Yeah. Yes, and they were short-handed. They took everybody they could get because it was the Bukhar from this place, Bukhar from that place.
Yeah, all the Bukhars died. Yeah,
they didn't have any left. And they had the civil war.
They
hated the Jews so much because they just saw them shaft their Elohim that everybody who could pick up a pitchfork and a and a torch was able to go out there.
In the hood?
It was hot. It was
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, this is recorded.
You have a sensor?
um, There's an interesting Zohar. The Zohar says that it says in the pasuk that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that you can see Mitzrayim today. Kasher reis Mitzrayim hayoyim lo yitzasifu lo yosoy oyd adaylam. You're never going to see Mitzrayim again. When they were going out of Mitzrayim, Hashem said Moshe Rabbeinu, you're never going to see Mitzrayim again. So the Zohar says, what do you mean? It says the pasuk vayayis also Mitzrayim by Kriyas Yam Suf. They saw Mitzrayim again. They saw all the people again. So the Zohar says, no, they were dead. It's different. They're dead. So there's a whole shaila in halacha. If a person makes a nether, I make a nether, I'm not going to see so-and-so. I'm not going to see Reuven. Yeah? And then Reuven dies. Yeah? Are you allowed to go see Reuven's dead body?
According to the Zohar, yeah.
So according to the Zohar, yeah. So the Mepharshim discuss if we can go like that or not.
So there is a divide, yeah.
No, but they don't have open caskets.
Okay, are you allowed to work for the Chevra Kedisha and be Matar this guy?
He's not a guy. Oh,
so according to the Zohar, the Zohar is saying it's not him, but Pashtus it is him. Really, it's the same guy. Okay, Rabbi Reuven Omer. Rabbi Reuven says, "Hakol helech achar roish." Everything goes after the leader. Emosai, when do we see that? Bezman shaharoya soya hatsoyin toyim acharav. For example, where do we see this? When the shepherd makes a mistake, they're all the sheep that are following him. They all deviate after him. Shenemar al chatis Yerovam asher chota. One Yerovam was the one who deviated from the path. Yerovam ben Nevat, the first king of Yisrael, deviated from the path. And then afterwards, anyone who deviated from the proper path, he's miyuchas to the chatis Yerovam asher chota. They're all following after him. Well, also we just found by Paro. A similar idea that Paro first went up and went into the sea and they all followed after him. But when the shepherd is good and he's going in a straight path, the sheep, the flock follow him. Moshe Rabbeinu was a trustworthy shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Kriyas Yam Suf, began to sing and to say praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, L'sheirer u'lezamer. The Radal says, because it says in the Pasuk, Oshiro la'Hashem ki goy goy, Sus rachwa v'ama v'ayom. And the next Pasuk is, Ozi v'zimros ka. So it's a Shira and a Zimra. Moshe Rabbeinu did that, and then all the Jews followed after him. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, Oz Yashir Moshe, then Moshe sang Uvnei Yisrael and the Jews, as Ashira, this is the song, etc.
So we don't say Hallel, but they sing?
What?
We don't say Hallel on the tree, but they can sing?
Oh, so that's an old question. How is it that Hashem didn't let the Malachi Ashoris sing in the Shemayim when Hashem did Kriyas Yam Suf? And because of that, the Beis Yisrael says, we don't say Hallel. Because they're being destroyed, because the Egyptians are being destroyed, but the Jews were allowed to. Because when you're at, one of the pshatim they said that when you're in this situation, then you're allowed to sing. Because you have greater hakar satev, because you were there, you were actually saved. But it's a famous question, they discuss this. Miriam, hischila mishereres umizameres. Miriam began to sing and also to be mezameres. And all the women followed after her. Shenamar says in the pasuk, "Vatikach Miriam hanevia esatoyf biyada vatitzena kol anashim achareha besupi mumum chayris." And they went out all after her. What do you mean they went out? Where did they go out? They followed her. So the Radal says, "Tupshatim." What do you mean they went out? Because usually the women are in the tent. Kol kavayda vasmelach pnima. So here they went out of the tent to be mishtatef in saying the simcha of Shira Sayam. The other nekuda he says is that they went away from where the men were, so that they would sing Shira separately from where the men are, so that they would call Be'isha Erva and they wouldn't get into problems like that.
I heard they didn't actually sing, they just used instruments.
It is such a pshat. They didn't actually sing, that they just used the instruments. Another pshat is that they use the instruments to obfuscate the sound of the singing. You couldn't hear them singing because the music was so loud.
Could we also, the issue of Kol Isha wasn't around them?
No.
For Matantul?
What? Ki Kolich Oreif Umarich Nove.
Did you find the issue of Kol Isha before Matantul?
do we find the Isra of Kaili Isha before Matan Torah?
Together, no? Together on Gilei Rois. It's not an actual Isra before itself.
Could be.
You don't find it amongst the entire mitzvahs.
But
it wasn't exactly like a shir like we know, like it's not a MBZ or shrek.
Same way that Yaakov
with the layer, it's more like a some praise to Hashem, in a form of shir is not exactly like with the voice. So like it's not a
I don't know what that. What does that mean?
Like a chant.
It's very easy to say something like that. Yeah, it's not. It's not a song like we know what song is. It's a different.
Say things. Is it allowed to hear?
It's saying things on our.
A woman, you know, talking. Yes, it is allowed to
hear.
Yaakov Avinu. They were speaking. He married four sisters. Yeah.
Yeah.
After Matan Torah, now how to do that.
Okay, fine, but there's different answers. There's different mafreshim speak about these type of things.
Some people say that even then they're makban on collision.
What?
Some people say that even then they're makban on kolisha.
I don't know, I'm saying kobi, why not?
Because otherwise it's not a question.
If kolisha is nichlal in the isser of leisikrivu, and the Ramban holds that leisikrivu is isser deraisa, kobi it's an isser deraisa. And if Avram Avinu kept kol Torah kula before it was given, because it says Eikav Asher Avram, Asher Shama Avram B'Kaili, Afilu Erev Tavshilin.
Yaakov Avinu also kept all Torah, even married four sisters.
So we have to know.
You see,
there were certain exceptions. What?
Yaakov had to deal with Kolisha.
Okay.
Well, like he said, that it wasn't a song, right? He said it was like a chant.
Yeah, there's a song. Yeah, it's like this, to the pronouncing the words and not.
Oh, you're saying they were singing. But Shira sounds like singing, no? I don't know.
It's not the same thing that we know as Shira.
What was this? Right, when like they sing, it was a
melody or something. It was not. We're not talking about music as we know today.
Oh, yeah.
That's the chatter.
I'm going to say it's Nevuah, right? Wasn't everyone Nevuahizing the song?
Shira? Yeah.
So that was Nevuah, wasn't it song?
But I'm saying it says the word Shira. It was saying. It was song.
That's how the
new book
came out.
So what are the answers which
are
given to me?
Huh?
What are the answers which are given?
No, the Rada saying that's why they went away. But Tetzana kol anoshim achareha.
Oh, so he says the pashtas that because of the problem they takes care of the problem.
Okay. Umenayin ha'ilhem tupim umcholis b'amidbar. How did they have tupim umcholis? Or what? Symbols and... what?
Egyptians were tambourines.
Tambourines? What's a tambourine? Tambourines and cymbals, right?
Kind of drum,
yeah. Yeah, some drums and cymbals, right? So where did they have cymbals and tambourines from, right? So rather, it's interesting that it says tupim and mecholis, because there is a shita that learns that mecholis means mechol is could mean a circle, and it could mean a dance circle. Tupim and mechalis could just mean they were dancing, and mechalis just means they're dancing in circles. It could be just tupim was the musical instrument. But here you see that tupim and mechalis were both musical instruments.
And the chariots, the wheels of the chariots, they turn them into symbols.
They improvised. Could be. But the Medrash doesn't say that. The Medrash says, "El la'olam ha'tzadikim yoidim u'muftachim sha'amakim oisalahem nisim u'gvores." Rather, the tzadikim are always know and rely on the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to make for them miracles and powerful occurrences. Ace Yitzyasin Mimitzrayim Hiskinu Lahem Tupim Umchalis. So when they were going out of Mitzrayim, they made for themselves Tupim Umchalis, so that when they go out and Hashem does Nisan for them, they could sing Shira. Omro Yisrael of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kal Yisrael said in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rebbein Kol HaOlamim, Master of the Universes. Those who have come upon us to destroy us from your world. And anyone who comes up against us is as if he's coming up against you. They're saying a tefillah to Hashem. Kulam begoin uzecha, all of them with your great strength, with your proud strength, and your great wrath, yachlu kakash. They should be smitten like devoured like straw. That was the tefillah that they were saying in one of the tefillahs they were saying in Oz Yosher. Amr Yisrael of Nekadish Baruch Hu, Klai Yisrael said in front of a Kadish Baruch Hu, Ein Kamaycha Bemalachei Asharis. There is no one like you amongst the angels, the ministering angels. How so? Bechein Kol Kinoi Shman Eli Kim Michael Gabriel Michamecha Ba'elim Hashem. Of all the malachim, so the names of the malachim, they all have like a kinoi, like a sort of they have like a nickname partially of Hashem. Michael has the aleph lamed at the end, the kel from Hashem. Gabriel has the kel from Hashem. Raphael, etc., etc. They all have a kel from Hashem, but nobody is like Hashem from all those people that are like that have the kel in Hashem's name. So that's how the Medrash is understanding the pasuk of Micha Moicha Bekelim. Who is like you, Hashem, from Micha Moicha in the kelim of all these people that end with the word kel. That's interesting because there are malachim that don't end with kel. There's some malachim that end with vav nun and some malachim that end with yud k. Hatat ends with vav nun. There's other malachim that end. What?
Satan.
No, he ends with he's spelled the samach mem. Whatever. But there are malachim that end with vav nun. Malachim that end with yud k. But so it's not like a cloud that all malachim end with aleph lamed. But that's the point.
Even a bad malachim ends with aleph lamed.
What?
Samach
mem. Yeah, that's what you said.
Because he needs the power from Hashem.
Right, everything is coming.
Whatever is doing.
You have to leave? What? What?
What are you planning to go to Mincha?
I daven Mincha already, and we're going to try to finish the perek.
Mincha is like 7, right?
Yeah, no, I've gone to Mincha in different
ways.
6:40. Fine. What's the other point over here? Fine. Va'ana Paro Yachareihem. Paro answered the Jews. The Jews said, Micha Moicha Bo'elim Hashem. Paro answered the Jews, and he said, Va'ana Paro Yachareihem Shir Vashavach B'Lashin Mitzvahs. Paro answered to the Jews, after the Jews, and he said, Shir Vashavach to Kodesh Baruch Hu in Egyptian language. Va'amar, and Paro said, Micha Moicha Nedor Ba'Kodesh. Who is like Hashem, Nedor Bakodesh, powerful in holiness. The Radal has two ways to understand this. Either that means that, well, first of all, the Rabbi Yomi Izmir says that because Paro sinned against the Kodesh Baruch Hu by saying in Lashon Mitzris, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bakodesh, who is Hashem that I should listen to his voice? So he would want to be misaken that sin by saying in Lashon Mitzris again, Mi kamaycha nadar b'kodesh. That's what Rabbi Leomi Izmir says. The Radal has two ways to understand this. Either it means that what happened was that Paro said it. What the words mi kamaycha nadar b'kodesh mean in Lashon Mitzvahs? He said it in Lashon Mitzvahs, and when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah, they translated it into Lashon Kodesh. Or that for some reason Chazal understood that the words mi kamaycha nadar b'kodesh have epis. Some sort of, have some sort of influence of Egyptian words to it. Fine. Weiter. Neir Zehilais Oisei Fela. Awesome praises to the one who does wonders. Neir Zehila Ein Ksiv Kan doesn't say awesome praise to the one who does wonders. Or Neir Zehilais, awesome praises. There's two praises going on. The Malachi Asharis are Mekalis HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens, and the Jews are Mekalis HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the earth.
You just said that the Malachi Asharis weren't seeing Hashem being
Mekalis. No, this is afterwards. Either this is afterwards or this is in general. V'chein hu oimer v'atah kodesh yoshev tehilas Yisrael. You are holy, sitting in the praises of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says that ain rishus l'malachei Yesharis to say Shira until Klal Yisrael says Shira. So all the Tehillahs are miyuchas to Klal Yisrael, even the ones that the Malachim say. Okay. Notisa yemincha tivlemay oretz. You stretched out your right hand, and the ground swallowed you up. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'oretz. This is a very interesting one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the ground after Kriyas Yamsuf, after the Egyptians were drowned, Kabli ichlusayich es hachalolim. Accept your population. Accept the corpses of the Egyptians and let them be buried in the ground. Amar lefonov, the ground, the eretz, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribon kalolamim, master of the universes, Hamayim hargu esam, v'amayim yivlu esam. The water killed them. The water should absorb them and have to deal with them. They should be buried in the water. Why should they be buried in the ground? I didn't do it. I didn't kill them. The water killed them. What does that mean? What's he arguing with Hashem? Hashem said, take them. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, no. Hashem answered nicely. Hashem said, Hapam hazois kabli es ela. This time you take these guys. Pamachas oisen shiyu neyogim alayich ani mashir esam liyam. At a different time, people that will be killed in the, on the ground, I'll send them to the sea. Shenamar, it says in Shiras Tevayra, in Sefer Shoftim, Nachal Kishon Grobam Nachal Kedumim. That after the Canaanim were killed, so the rivers came and took the bodies and took them away. So they were killed on the ground, but they were buried in the water. So what was the ground saying to Hashem, and Hashem answering back? So the Rabbi Yomi Israel has a little bit of a pilpul dik pshat over here. It says like this, based on what we said earlier, that everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu did by Kriyas Yamsuf was midah ked midah. Everything has to have a cheshbon. Everything worked out. Yeah. So we know that it says earlier in Pirkei Eliezer, in Parak Lamed Tes, it says like this, B'schai shegomlo ha-mitzriyim chesed im Yaakov, in the schar that the Mitzrayim came, were goymel chesed to Yaakov Avinu, that when they went to bury Yaakov Avinu, the Mitzrayim came out and they gave kovet to Yaakov Avinu. So b'schar that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that when they're going to die by Kriyas Yamsuf, they're going to be buried in the ground. They're not going to be buried in a bizyon and stick away in the water. They're going to be buried in the ground. Okay? B'schar that. So say it like this. When Hashem said to the ground, Luke, open up so we can bury these Egyptians there. The ground said, what do you mean? Hashem, why are the Egyptians being drowned in the sea? Because we said before that the Egyptians threw the Jewish boys into the sea. Now the Jewish boys that were thrown into the sea were thrown there to be buried there as well. So if we're going to put the Egyptians into the sea, Mida Keneged Mida, so then they should be buried there in the sea also. So Kadosh Baruch so Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying back, no, when we're talking about midah keneged midah, we also have to do. They did a good thing, so we have to give them schar for the good thing that they did. The good thing they gave kovet to Yaakov Avinu when they were going to bury Yaakov Avinu in the ground. We're going to give them also that same kovet to be buried in the ground. So I'll make a deal with you, and then Hashem Kilo made a deal with the land that these people who are killed in the sea will be buried in the land. Other people will be killed in the land will be buried in the sea.
What? I understand that the fish complained that they were supposed to give the Egyptians. Over there, later on, why not give them where you hold the red, Hashem gave it back over there.
Oh, so that's another thing. The way they explain what the land was saying was that, like, you know, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the fish. The fish is supposed to be able to eat it. Whatever. Mufashim bring that also. It's a continuation of the dialogue between the sea and the land and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The land said in front of Hashem, only one person was killed when Cain killed Hevel and he buried Hevel in under the ground. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Arur ha'adama, Asher patzal pil to be mekabel the dam of Hevel." So one person was killed, and I opened mouth to accept him to be buried, and I was cursed. If I open my mouth to accept all these, this whole population, then for sure I'm going to be cursed. So I don't want to do it. So the land said to Hashem, Master of the Universe, Tain li shvuas yimincha she'en ata teveya isam yodi. Give me the swearing of your right hand that you're not gonna claim anything from me. V'nata Kadosh Baruch Hu yad yimina Kadosh Baruch Hu lifted his right hand. V'nishbala Hashem swore to the sea she'en teveya isam yodi. It's not gonna be teveya anything from the land. Shneimer says in the pasuk, Notisa yimincha, you stretch out your right hand tivaya mayaretz, and then the land swallowed it. Then yamin el shvua, the lashon of yamin, the right hand is always a lashon of shvua. Shneimer says in the pasuk, nishba Hashem b'yiminoi uv'zreil uzoi. Hashem swore with his right hand and with his arm in his arm with the strength. Miyad pasul ha'aretz espia uvala yisam, and then immediately the land opened its mouth and swallowed them. Uchashishamu kol malchei ha'aretz, or kol anshei Kanaan. When all the kings of the land, or all the people of Canaan, heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ukriyas Yamsuf, about the Jewish exodus from Egypt, and about the splitting of the sea, Rogzu v'cholu uvachum v'mekoymon. They were scared and they were shaking and they ran away from their places. Shneimer says in the pasuk, Shoma'u amim yirgozun. All the nations heard and they got scared. Omar Moshe lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribbon kol olam, Master of the Universe, tein pachtecha ve'moscha aleihem shehei libon ka'even ad shi'avar Yisrael asayam shenemar ad yavar amcha Hashem." Hashem, put your fear and scareness upon them, so that their hearts will be like stone until the Jews cross the sea. As it says in the pasuk, "Ad yavar amcha Hashem." What does that mean? Meaning, don't. The Marzu says that make their hearts like hearts of stone, that they won't be fazed by the fact that the Jews are having all kinds of miraculous hatzlachas and miracles, whatever, and they'll be scared and they'll leave Eretz Canaan, and then the land will be desolate by the time the Jews come, and then there won't be anything to do. So rather have them be sort of stubborn in their reserve, and then they won't want to leave until the Jews start crossing the Jordan and start conquering, and then we'll be able to conquer them. But if they leave beforehand, the land will be ran over by wild animals, like we read in the Kriyas HaTorah. Was it this morning? Yesterday? When did we read this? I don't remember. One of these days of Chol Moed, fine. Just to finish off over here, I don't know exactly how to read these last few lines, but I think I have somewhat of an idea. Let's say like this: Tivi emai v'sita emai v'garim. Tivi emai lahar kochecha. Tivi emai, bring them v'sita emai and plant them. Tivi emai lahar kochecha. Bring them to the mountain, to your holy mountain, to Yerushalayim, to where the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built. Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Moshe, lo yamata tivi'einu v'sito'einu. Moshe, you didn't say bring us, take us and plant us. Ela tivi'einu v'sito'einu, bring them and plant them. V'amevi hu hamaitzi. The one who brings them, who's going to be the one who brings them? The hu hamaitzi, the one who took them out. The way I'm understanding this is Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu that you're the one who took them out of Mitzrayim. You're going to be the one who's going to take them into Eretz Yisrael. So then, now that this sort of splits into two sub-shatim, I, Moshe Rabbeinu, wasn't the one who brought them into Eretz Yisrael. So the way the Radal goes is that we're talking about before there was a gzeir on Moshe Rabbeinu that he's not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So at this point, it's supposed to be that he took them out of Mitzrayim. He's going to be bringing them to Eretz Yisrael. The way the Marzu goes is that, even now we already know that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to bring it to Eretz Yisrael. But in the future, when Mashiach comes, someday we'll all be together, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu will lead us once again, etc. Omar, He said, the way I understand it, Hashem is still speaking, so I don't know why it says Omar again, but Hashem said, Chayacha kidvaracha ken yihya. I swear that the way you said it, that's how it's going to be. You're going to bring them. Bo'aylam azah tamev yaisam. In this world, you're going to bring them. The Wadawa is understanding it, you know, this world being literally, you're going to go bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And the way the Marzu is saying it, in this world, meaning like, in this world, but in the future. But the asid lavai in the future in the oil of my boy in the Maisa Mashiach, ani noitei ha'isam. I'm gonna plant them. You're gonna bring them, but I'm gonna plant them. I'm gonna plant them neta emes, a true implanting. Shloi nosru me'al admosam, and they'll never be uprooted from their land. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, unetatem al admosam, and you'll plant them on their land. V'oimer, and it says in the pasuk, Hashem yimloich le'olam vo'ed. The next pasuk is saying Hashem yimloich le'olam vo'ed. That's talking about the Mois HaMashiach, that Hashem alone is going to be the king. Thank you for coming. Agut Amayit.